And this is what the psalmist wrote. He said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call." Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come unto you, Lord Father, one more time this day. Father, we love and thank you and praise you, Father, for your word. We thank you, God, for this evening worship that we have here. We thank you, Father, for just everybody that's in our presence, Lord, and we being in the presence too. And as we come to you, Lord Father, the best we know how, God, we pray tonight, Lord Father, that you would have your way both our heart, have your way not with just my heart, but Lord Father, everybody's heart. And Father, as we come this evening to worship you in spirit and truth, no doubt, as we've said before, Lord, there's an expectation that's in the room from most, Lord Father. And I pray that we all have an expectation to hear from you. And Lord Father, I pray tonight, Lord, there's an expectation that we realize that you want to see out of us. And Father, I pray many times we've asked you, Lord Father, to anoint us and forgive us, Lord Father, where we fail. But Lord Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that I would just preach, Lord, in the plainness of speech, the simplicity of the word, of your word. And that, Father, that you would anoint it and preach through us, Lord Father, that way. That, Lord, it's not with fancy enticing things, not to be a show. But, Lord Father, tonight, that this would help and increase, Lord Father, in our life. It would build us up in our most holy faith if that we are saved. And, Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that if there's some here that's not born again, not saved, that, Father, that they would be getting their life in order tonight and giving it to you, Lord Father, being born again. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. As I was been reading this chapter, there's a certain place I want to go to, but all of it in here is pretty good. As I was thinking about these scriptures, it says we will set up our banners. And I was reminded as we was praying in Song of Solomon, I'm reminded the Bible says that God brought us down to the banqueting house. The banner over us is love. There's a banner that flies over his church. And thank the good Lord that it's love. I mean, it could be wrath, it could be judgment, but I'm glad over his house, his banqueting house, he's got a spread set for everybody. And there's room at the table for one and for all. And the banner over us is love. I'm reminded that it was God who first loved us. It wasn't us that first loved him. And I'm glad his love is a perfect love. But my heart is fixed upon the one word in Psalm chapter number 20, verse number 7. We'll probably come back to a lot of this here tonight. But I want to focus on the word remember. Things that we should remember. Some stuff that we have to remember. Some things that we should log in our heart and into our walk with the Lord. The things that we need to remember. And I know this tonight that sometimes memory is not the best quality of my life and with other folks. But I do think there's some things that we have contributed to memory. Some things that we know that we find and deem to be important in our life. We always try to remember to take our wallet with us whenever we get in the car. It has our driver's license or purse. Things of that nature. And I've often heard people at times people would say, there's a lot of things I can't commit to memory. But I do believe this, that you can put things to remember in your heart if you deem them to be important. Like it says in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 42, I do believe this was something very important for one man to ask the Lord to remember. And he said unto Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into the high kingdom. And can I say it was very important for that man to make that statement. He wanted the Lord to remember him when he come into his kingdom. And I like it that the Lord, when it says about some things to remember, but there's also some things I'm glad the Lord does not remember. And I've often quoted these scriptures and I've often quoted these things, but they kind of like wooed my heart last night as I was up late. And it said in Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 12, God was speaking through the writer and he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 17, and he said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I'm glad tonight to know that there's some things that God will not remember, but I do know there's some things tonight that the church, as a body of believers and as us as individuals, as we go out through our day, some things that we ought to remember. As we find in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says that Jesus told the church of Ephesus, he says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." He's reminded them to remember that first love. He's telling them, remember from whence you've fallen and do your first work. Can I say this tonight? The first thing that we ought to remember is remember just how much the Lord loves who we are. How though it wasn't for the qualities or the attributes that we had showed unto him. I mean, it wasn't the good looks. It wasn't the style of our clothes. It wasn't the last name that we bore. But the Bible says that God loved us. God loved us and loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, we remember sometimes that the Lord still loves us. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. There are many times in the English language we use the word love, and it can mean different things. Some people say they love their spouse, and some people say they love their kids, and some people say they love their pets. Now, I do know this. I hope that people don't use the same love that they love their kids with, that they love their pets with. But I know, I hope for sure, Brother Josh, that folks ain't loving their spouse like they love their pets. We just use love for any kind of different reasons. But in Greek, there's a word that God uses, or in the Bible, when the Bible was written in Greek in the New Testament, there's a word called agape love. That is a pure and true love that God has towards us. And I'm glad tonight that sometimes we need to remember and remind ourselves that God still loves us. And at times we get caught up in the things of church and get caught up in the things of doing the rigor or more. Sometimes we need to put the brakes on of life, take a time out, just sit a spell, and remember and remind ourselves that God still loves us. It's not about all the things that we can know. It's not about the amount of the scriptures that we can quote or memorize. It's not about the songs that we can sing. But it's us basking in remembering just how much the Lord loved us. Think about this, church. Not only did he walk upon the earth for 33 and a third years, but he walked that way and never did sin, not one time. And he bore that cross up Calvary's hill. He bore the sins of every man, boy, and girl. He bore the sins of everybody and died upon the cross. And we like the statement, we like the poems, we like the pictures, we like the t-shirts. He said it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, but it was the love that he had towards us. Oh, can we remind ourselves when we get up in the morning, and though we may start our day off, and it may seem like you're going to school and you ain't got no friends, or going to work and nobody likes you. Can I say this? Just look at your Bible and see how God put it in a hand and gave us something to read to remind us that God loves us with a pure and true love. You need to remember tonight that God loves us. In Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 3, he says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast." He said, "And repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, that thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." This is where the Bible, or the Lord is speaking unto the church of Sardis. About, they said they had names that they lived. He said, "But thou art dead." He's talking about their works was not perfect before him. He was saying, "Remember the things which thou hast heard, the things hast received, and the things that you should hold fast to." Can I say this tonight? It was said by Brother James when he was testifying about how you can say anything you want to about religion. You can say anything you want to about God. You can say anything you want to about how you believe. But as soon as you drop that name of Jesus in somebody's lap, I'm telling you, they're going to label you. They're going to put a moniker upon you. They're going to put you in a group. They're going to call you all kinds of names that's not right, maybe not correct. But can I say this tonight? You've got to remember. You've got to remember what you've heard. You've got to remember how you've received it and hold fast unto it. I've known many people that's trying to push folks off their faith and say you don't have to mention the name Jesus. And y'all not to mention the things about the cross and mention the things about the blood. But can I tell you this, friends, tonight, church, are you hearing me? That without Jesus Christ, without the cross, and without the blood, there's no love to be given unto the world. And the Bible says, hold fast to it. You said, preacher, why should we hold fast to it? I believe the battle lines have been drawn already. And I believe the sides have been picked already. And I believe they're trying to map out how to get rid of God's church. But I'm glad to know this tonight. We've got to hold fast to which we know. Hold fast to that which we heard. Remember how it came to us. It came by God. Didn't come by man. We hold fast unto it. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power over the devil. Remember, church, you're not weak, but you're strong. Remember tonight that which you've heard and that which you have received. And hold fast unto it. Can I say this tonight in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 31? He says, hold. He says, for therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, not in day with tears. Can I say this tonight? Remember all them things. Remember them men that God's put into your path that would preach the gospel into your heart. Remember all them people that God, all them men that God placed in your life to preach. I've often heard people say this and talk about the man of God. Used to, the man of God was respected. Amen. Used to, the man of God was reverenced. Right. And it wasn't him and his name, but it was the position that God put him into. Amen. And can I say this? Men used to reverence the position. Amen. That's exactly right. Some people have no fear. Some men think they can just stand in the pulpit, say whatever they want, and think there's no repercussion. Oh, but Paul was telling him in the book of Acts, he says, remember what I've warned you for 3 years. Oh, it was preached not too long ago out of Ezekiel where it says, I set the watchman upon the wall. And he says, we're to sound the warning. And the Bible says, if you sound the warning and they die in their sins, their blood is required of their own hands. But if you don't sound the warning and the sword comes and they die in their sins, they still die in their sins, but their blood is required at your hands. Can I say this tonight? You've got to remember how God put the man of God in your life to preach to the gospel. I had a man who was asking some questions about folks, about certain this and certain that, about a parable in the Bible, whether it was a parable or whether it was true. All I know is when it comes to certain, there's some things that you can know for certain that God is certain when it comes to your life. And I can tell you this tonight, Brother Josh, God has always got a certain man to place in your life to tell you the words that you need to hear, to preach the message that will touch your heart. I've heard people say, well, it don't matter if my kids go to church. It don't matter what I say about the preacher behind closed doors. But can I tell you, it matters a whole lot, because God don't pick out the preacher you want to preach to you. God's got the preacher he wants to preach to you. It'll preach the message. It'll either be for you or it'll be to rim against you. But you need to remember and thank God for the man of God he's placed in your life. Says in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7, he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversations. I'll never forget, I was talking to a brother yesterday, and we was talking about the preaching. Now, I had to do a funeral with a feller, and he wanted to talk about the past of the man that had passed on. Don't get me wrong, I think it's good. He wanted to talk about the memories. And Joanne, I think the memories are good. When a loved one's passed on, remind ourselves. Remember the good times. Remember the good things. And don't let the bad things creep in. But it was all said and done. Nobody told them about how they needed Jesus in their life. And of course, they leave it under the preacher. They leave it under the man of God. The guy that I dealt with, he said he wasn't a preacher. He was just a lay member. So he just gave a lay member's message. But it left it up to the man of God to stand in the graveyard. And then people staring at me hoping for some words of comfort. And I would love to have been able, Brother Danny, to give them the words of comfort to take away their sorrow. But God said, Jason, the only thing that can truly take away their sorrow is to have a born-again experience with the power of God. It'll help them on the inside. Oh, bless God tonight. I often said this after God preached, after God called me to preach. I said, God, I'll preach in the places no other preacher will preach, and I'll preach the messages that no other preacher will preach. And oh, can I say this tonight? God's held me to it. There's been times that it doesn't feel right. There's been times I've questioned God, but every time, God's always proven her out. This world is not going to go and get saved by a tract. They're not going to get saved by the Bible. The Bible says by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased the Father to save them that would believe. Don't get me wrong. We've got tracts. I think we pass them out. Don't get me wrong. We've got Bible. I think we should open them up. But I'm telling you, if God said they could get saved some other way, I'm wearing my clothes out. I'm wearing my voice out. I'm wearing my lungs out. And God don't need to call no more preachers. But my Bible tells me that he said the power of God unto salvation to all them that would believe, from the Jew and to the Greek. Bless his holy and righteous sweet name. I thank God for every preacher that he placed in my life. We should remember them. I've heard stories about some. I've heard them talk about them old preachers had to stand in the gap. What they call them, them old let-alone preachers. They'd stand there. Wasn't preaching for a payday. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I heard about some of them. This fellow was telling me, he said, Jason, I don't know of too many churches anymore that preach repentance. And I wanted to brag real hard and say, I know of a church that still does down in Southland. Amen. And I like to say, I thank God we got some preachers here in Southland that will still preach repentance. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, without repentance, there will be no regeneration. And without no preaching, there'll be no faith. Amen. That's right. But can I say this tonight? I thank God for the preachers. I thank God for the man that will stand. I know some folks back in the old days, you know, you all like to, we like to give love offerings to visiting preachers. And I think it's good you all give me a love offering, and I deeply appreciate it. But back in the old days, sometimes they get chickens, and sometimes they get pocket pies. I wonder how many of them men that were supposed to have been called to preach would still preach today if they got to take home a chicken in a pocket pie. Somebody say amen right there. Most people's into it for the vocation. Some people's into it for the notoriety. Some people go to little churches for stepping stone to big churches. I'm telling you, those ain't God called men. Amen. But I like them men that God called. He'll preach to one or two or 1,000 of them and preach exactly what God gives them. Don't change the message. Sticks right with the word and let the Holy Ghost move through them. The Bible says remember them. Remember them. Oftentimes those men are forgotten. You young people, can I say this? And I ain't trying to, I guess it will sound like it's boasting, but it's not boasting. I thank God. Our young people today have got an advantage over a lot of young people. They still get to hear the preached word. Amen. That's right. It may get them labeled as being crazy. It may get them labeled as being right wingers, Jesus fanatics. You count all those things as compliments, because one of these days they're going to call us gone. And all them people who didn't like preaching. I remember Joanne, somebody told me one time, they said they don't think it's right for me to preach this way in front of their kids. They said it would spook their kids. They said they think they'll take their kids downstairs in the basement and somebody give them tic-tac-toe and crossword puzzles to teach them about Jesus Christ. Now, hope if this makes you mad, just pray. We'll talk about it after church. I ain't trying to be obnoxious. But it didn't bother those young kids about 50, 60 years ago, Brother Tom, to have the gospel be preached unto when they was young. And a matter of fact, James Powell, that gospel, when young preachers or young kids heard that gospel, it would still save their soul as it would be an old rotten sinner. And can I say this tonight? God's not looking for an age group. He's looking for the one he can call upon, knock upon their heart's door, and they open up and let him in. Amen. Don't forget the preacher. Don't forget the preacher. Don't remember every man that stands, but don't you know who the preacher is? In John 15, verse number 20, Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, remember the word that I said unto you. Remember the word that I said unto you. Not only do you need to remember the preacher, but you need to remember the words that have been preached. Oftentimes, and I've said this before, it's been said in many places, and it's a running joke amongst some of us. You know, I've heard people say, man, that was some good preaching. That was some real good preaching. And you go up to them and say, well, what did he preach on? And they'll say, well, you know, they preached about Jesus. I think about every God called preacher preaches about Jesus. Y'all hearing me?
Yeah, right.
But you ask him, just what did that preacher preach on? Where did he read from? I don't know where he read from. You've got to remember that word at which it was preached. The message that God gives is not a message that a preacher stays up all night long trying to cock together and thinks about people in the congregation thinking he can get back on some folks. No. That's not a message, and that's not the words of God. But the words of God is the words that God gives the man of God. And they go out in the power of God, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It gets in the heart. Can I say this tonight? In Matthew chapter number 13, it talks about the seed sower. It talks about the seed that went about the wayside, the seed that went amongst the thorny ground, the seed that went amongst the stony ground, and the seed that went amongst the good and honest ground. When he put the explanation of this parable unto his disciples, he says that seed is the word of God. Oftentimes people don't realize this. In Sunday school, young people, put that word and hide it in your heart. We say it in during the vacation Bible school at the pledge to the Bible. These words I'll hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. Remember the word. Remember that Bible. I ain't saying that it's going to come around the corner next week or next month, but it wouldn't surprise me not one bit if they have themselves a book burning and they burn every King James Bible they can put their hands upon. And can I say this tonight? It's not based upon how many you got in your house, but it will be based upon how much you've got into your heart, if it'll help you in this life. That Bible, though it is a book, and you've often heard me say it's only a book until the Spirit of God reveals it unto you. But the more you spend time with that word, and the more you take heed to that word, and the more you remember that word right there will make a difference in your life. Joe Ann was sitting there testifying and saying there's been some rough spells going on around their house. And she told Cameron, we're just going to open up the Word of God. Can I tell you this? There's every solution to every problem in this Word. And Jesus said, remember the Word that I've spoken unto you.
Right.
Them disciples, he told them, he said, now you're clean every whit by the Word that I have spoken unto you. I've heard people say, y'all just believe blindly. I don't believe blindly. I was blind, and then I started to believe. And when I believed, Brother James, there was a light that shined in and made everything so clear. Can I say this tonight? Oftentimes we think that the Bible only needs to be read by the preacher. And oftentimes, I'm not trying to be difficult, I'm just giving you reality. Oftentimes we don't open our Bible until the preacher says, open up our Bible. But can I tell you this? It'll do us a whole lot more good Monday through Saturday if we remember the Word of God. Remember that this thing has lasted throughout generations. Remember it's been tested and tried. Remember they tried to prove it to be a lie, and it's always been proven out to be factual. It is the Word of God. Bless God, we've got a copy of the God's Word in the English language that we can take home. We can put it in a car. We can take it to school. We can take it to work. Don't get me wrong. It will cause a division, but bless God, it'll get you closer unto Him if you remember His Word. Preacher, they'll call me Bible thumper. Well, as long as you ain't thumping him over the head, you can thump your own Bible all you want. Ain't that right? And if there's anything we need to line up with, is line up with the Word of God. Y'all hearing the preacher this evening? Also, the one thing else we need to remember, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 9, he says, do you not yet understand? Neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets took you up? He was talking to them disciples. They was scared to death about the situation they was in. They had done plumb forgotten how God delivered in a place where they didn't think no one else could deliver. In that very same place, Michelle, they said they was in a desert place. And Jesus was able to produce out of 5 hush puppies and 2 fishes more fish than Red Lobster, Joe's Crab Shack, and Long John Silver's. And he fed all them people. And oftentimes we realize this, and I'll be the first one who has to get in line and say, I do not remember sometimes. just what God has done in my life. Just exactly where God has brought me from. Oftentimes I said, Lord, here I go again. I'm in another situation. I'm in another circumstance. I'm in another position. Don't get me wrong. I'll sit there and say, God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. But oh, God, where are you at? I need you right now. And I'm sitting there, God, I need to have a good swift kicking. Because it was just maybe 2 months ago, I was saying the same prayer. 2 weeks ago, saying the same prayer. And God always produced the fishes and the loaves. God has ever always been there, Brother John, Brother Don. He's always been there walking on the sea. He's always been there in the midst of the storm. He's always been there in the time of destitute. He's always been there in a time I needed some kind of provision. God has never failed. And you say, preacher, this is all elementary. Preacher, these are things that we know. Well, if it's the things that we know, can I remind you all of something? Will you remember this? It don't get no better than this in this life. If you remember that God will produce and give you something, mark her down. He will always be there for the rest of your life. Y'all hear this, preacher? I thought about this, and we was talking, me and some preachers was talking a while back, a couple years ago, maybe five, in a church world today, where they're looking for some new thing. They're looking for some kind of knowledge, some kind of deep theological breakthrough to help them to learn more and more and more. But my Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, they're ever studying but never able coming to the knowledge of the truth. Can I say this tonight? It's not about the deep theological things that you can learn, but it is about how God can be there in the good times and in the bad. Josh walked up to me, and I'll be honest with you. There were some things most of you probably didn't know that had been going on earlier today. And I was worried. I was scared. Something sick. And I was praying, saying, God, I need you to do this. And God, I need you to do that. And when service was over, I'm sitting there shaking my head, saying, man, he's been there every single time. He'll be there every single time from here on out. You said, preacher, how do you know he'll be that way? Because he's God and he cannot lie. He'll always deliver. He'll always help you in the time of need. Don't forget. Always remember the loaves. Luke chapter 17, 32. You ain't got to turn there. It's a small verse. He says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Can I say this? Lot's wife, though she's been used in some comedic things that goes on around some of our young people for a joke, I know what they're doing. It's nothing mean. But can I say this? Jesus put it in plain red letters. That's what them good old country, good old boy, good old girl country religion is. I like them words that are in red. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. The only time you hear of Lot's wife is when she is exiting Sodom and Gomorrah. And God gives out the warning. I want you to hear this, church. God warns Lot, his two daughters, and his wife. Now, some people like to paint Lot as a backslidden Christian. Some people like to paint Lot as a man who wasn't really saved. And some people like to paint Lot as somebody who was just overcome by what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I look at Lot and saying, if I don't walk the way God wants me to walk, I'll wind up in the same position that Lot walked in. Amen, that's right. And can I say this? Lot's got to work out. Lot had to work out everything between him and the Lord. I've got my own life to work out. And the Bible shows me and tells me that Old Testament is the examples that we should live by and walk by. I want to say this to everybody underneath the sound of my voice. God warned Lot, and God warned his two daughters, and warned Lot's wife. And there is one thing that sometimes goes upon deaf ears. When God sends out a warning, he doesn't do it two or three times. He's obligated maybe one time, maybe not even one time, to give us a warning. But when he sends out a warning, it is for us to perk our ears up, to listen and apply it to our life. The warning was, when you all leave the city, do not look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Whatever you do, do not look back.
For whosoever looks back shall be turned into a pillar of salt. We all know the story. They're exiting out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know, some folks like to say it might have been the son-in-laws. It may have been the other daughters. It may have been other people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe it was the cry. Nevertheless, she allowed herself to turn around and look as God brought down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And she was turned instantly into a pillar of salt. Can I say this tonight? The God that we serve ain't changed. Right. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He still sends out warnings unto His people. But if we don't hear Him, it's not His fault. Amen. And many a times, can I say this? Many a times, there has been warnings sounded out from the pulpit of Mount Zion Baptist Church. And some people don't think that it's just words that the preacher might be saying. Might be something that he's formulated. It really ain't worth all that. Can I say it? It's not the words of the preacher. It's not the words of the individual. But it is the words of God when He sounds out the warning. Because if God says it, mark her down, it's going to happen. Lot's wife, she didn't think it was needful. She neglected to heed the warning and the word of God. Remember, Lot's wife, sin has a payday and sin will be reaped. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The rest of it, thank God, says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But lust comes from within our own flesh. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, brings forth death. I don't know how many times, Brother Don, I've heard people say, well, I can dabble into this, and I can dabble into that. Everything's going to be all right. I can do whatever I want to. Everything's going to be A-okay. But when God sends the warning out to our life and says, no, it's not going to be so, you can mark her down. If you keep dabbling, know this, God will get you. I've heard people say, no, that preaching doesn't belong. That preaching doesn't belong. Oh, yes, it sure does. Because the Bible says in Hebrews in chapter number 12, He says, all them that receive chastenings, they are the sons of God. We're the sons and daughters of God. That's how we know. And the Bible says, we are all partakers of that chastening. But He said, therefore, if them they not receive not chastening, they're bastards and they're not sons. That which says that you do not belong unto the Lord God. But can I say this tonight? I'm not sending out a warning saying there's some things going to come at you on Monday. But I am trying to tell you this tonight. God says, remember Lot's wife. And remember, if God gives a warning, thirdly, remember this. If we know that it can happen just like that, what kind of person ought we to be to them that are lost? Remember Lot's wife. Remember, she was exiting while the fire was coming down. Folks, there's going to be more people burning than more people praising. The Bible says, enter at the straight gate. It got real serious all of a sudden, didn't it? He says, enter at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many be thereat. We should remember Lot's wife, knowing that any moment, even as he told the church of Sardis, I'll come at you as a thief in the night, in the hour you know not. If we know that any moment it can happen like this, if we know at any moment God can sound the trumpet and the dead in Christ rise first, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where it says, comfort yourself with these words. If we really believe it can happen at any moment, what kind of people should we be in warning those that are lost? Y'all with me this evening?
I am.
Remember Lot's wife. And tonight, I feel this is on my heart. I want to give this. There's some things in Peter I want to give this tonight. I was going to get right back to Psalm chapter 20, because I wanted to preach upon how this world trusts in chariots and horses, but we remember and trust in the name of the Lord. But I want to ask you this tonight. Are you having trouble in remembering? I want to ask you this tonight. Everybody under the sound of my voice, are you having trouble remembering? You said, preacher, I'm not getting it. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 3, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Amen. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of that is in the world through lust. He said, beside this, beside those things, he says, giving all diligence to add to your faith. Now, you can't get more faith, but there's some things you can add to your faith. And he says, if you'll add virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's some things. Can I say this tonight? After we're saved, there's still some things that we need to do. He done took care of the cross. He done took care of the sin atonement. He done took care of the brand new life. Just over. He done took care of having the blessed gift on the inside of the Spirit being there with us. But he said there's some things that we should be doing also. Right. And oftentimes, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I come from a group of men, older men that used to use the scripture. If a man don't work, he don't eat. And they always used it only for the physical. They never looked at it as if God was saying, if you don't work spiritually, if you don't put some work to that faith, as James says, if you have faith and not works, is you really having faith? Do you really have faith? He said, show me your faith by without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Because he said, faith without works is dead. Is that right? And oftentimes I've saw people, and I don't know why God's preaching me this way. I only got about maybe 5 minutes. I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about he's giving me about 5 minutes because he's wanting me to hit this and make this the end. Hopefully some of us that God's speaking to will take it home with us. It is one thing to be saved, but there's another thing to be saved and doing something with it. And oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time with folks that say they're saved and they say they've got that faith, but they ain't got nothing else that goes with it. Because here it says, if you have this virtue and you have this knowledge and you have this brotherly kindness and you have this temperance and you have this patience and godliness and charity, if you had all these things and they are bound. I mean, you can't just take a little bit of here, a little teaspoon here, a little pinch there, tablespoon here, a quarter cup there, and think it's going to be all right. He says it's got to abound. And he wasn't saying it for anybody else's benefit. He was saying it for yours and mine. Because he said, if these things abound in you, you will never be barren, but you always will be fruitful. Y'all hear me? Because this is what he says in the 9th verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I wonder if there's anybody here that can't remember about when God purged you, cleansed you, and cleaned you up from them old sins. You said, preacher, I'm not understanding. I won't mention no names, but I have met many a people who will come to an altar and cry out and beg and beg and beg and beg and beg God to help them in their problems. They'll cry out to God for God to move in some great big way. And don't get me wrong, God is the same God, Robin, that produces the five loaves and feeds everybody. But if you don't add the things to your faith, it's not God's fault. He can't override His word. And so many people, Brother Randy, you've seen them. I've seen them come one time. I got saved. Two times. I got saved. Three times. I got saved. Four times. I got saved. Five times. I got saved. One fellow one time on the altar crying out, asking God to save him. Save him. Save him. Save him. Save him. He got up and said, God save me, because that's the Baptist thing to do. You went to the altar, you cried, you was broke. Everybody's thinking you lost, so you had to get saved, right? The problem was, he come to me later and said, Jason, I didn't get saved. He goes, because God began to deal with me on the way home. He told me when I got saved, he had forgotten that he'd been purged from his old sins. He had forgotten what God had done to him. You said, preacher, we can never forget. I'm telling you, if you don't add to that faith, if you don't grow, if you don't allow God to work in your life, mark her down, you'll get stuck in the ways of I don't know. You'll be filled with doubt. You'll be of no use to yourself. You'll be no hope to help to your church, to your family. You'll be barren. You'll be unfruitful. And there's nothing worse feeling in a Christian's life, in a saved person's life. Now, you all may not agree with this. That's fine. But as soon as I cannot recognize and associate my day with God in my life, I start making myself an inventory check. I start looking. God, help me tonight. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but God knows. And so many times, people say, where did I misstep? Where did I misstep? And they're looking for a sin, some egregious sin. Did I lie? Did I cuss? Did I look at something pornographic? Did I listen to something to satanic? And the whole entire time, you're not adding charity to that faith. You're not adding brotherly kindness to that faith. You're not adding goodliness or godliness unto that faith. You're not adding virtue to that faith. The whole entire time, you're like, God save me and that's it, and I don't care. Ain't that right? And the Bible says you'll forget. I'm sitting there thinking, God, you had me say, remember, 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 remember. But I wonder if anybody here has forgotten. Have you been adding those things to your faith? Have you been applying them to your walk? You know how you know if you've been applying them to your walk? Y'all, hold on to y'all pray for me now. It's when the things of the world and sin creeps into your life and how you deal with them right then. If you entertain the sin and entertain the world, mark her down. There's some work that needs to be done on your end. Some people say, well, preacher, I mean, come on, we're all human. What's the big deal? The big deal is you just don't affect your own life. You affect the people around you. That's what me and Brother Don was talking about Thursday night. We all affect the folk around us. And how you behave and how you act and how your faith is a reflection. It reflects and then it impacts and influences others. I've heard people so many times that say, I just don't understand, preacher. I just don't understand. I've had somebody tell me one time years ago, they said, we've prayed for our daughter, we've prayed for our granddaughter, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I'll never forget this. And they said, we just can't figure out why she can't get saved. She can't get saved. And they was the very ones just dogging the pastor out and bad-mouthing him all the time while they're at home. And so when that young girl would come to church and God give that man the message, and I'd watch him, Brother James, he'd preach and he'd preach and he'd preach to where his face was almost purple like he was going to bust, begging for the lost to get saved. And it was going amongst deaf ears. It matters a whole lot what we remember, what we put into memory. I know if I forget to set my alarm clock, it won't be too long. I'm getting called to the office for my attendance. Right?
Yep.
Won't be too long. You use that excuse, well, I didn't remember to do my homework. You'll see a letter on your report card that tells you that you haven't been remembering to do your homework.
Is this all right, preacher? Well, the Bible's more important than our job and our school. Our walk with the Lord is more important than our job and the school. And God's asking us tonight to remember. To remember. I've often heard people say, get us the song I'm done preaching. I've heard people say, that message needed to be for somebody else. Well, that wasn't actually how God had planned it out in my mind. Can I say this tonight? We all have to add to our faith. Didn't say well, there's a place to stop. He was just saying the things that we're supposed to add. Preacher, I'm a young teenager. You're still supposed to add. Preacher, I've been in this way a long time. You're still supposed to add. Remember when he warns. Remember them old preachers. Remember the words. Remember Lot's wife. But if you're forgetting for some things and you haven't been adding to your life, now's a good time to refresh that memory. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, maybe, just maybe, all them times you've been wrestling and fighting with things and you can't figure out an answer, maybe it's because you don't have a place where that faith entered into your heart. I've often heard people say, well, that preacher preached me, made me doubt my salvation. If any man ever made me doubt my salvation, Brother James, all I had to do was ask the Lord. He'd always make sure that I knew. He'd always make sure I knew. Now I wonder tonight, if there's people here. Now I'm asking you honestly, if there's anybody here that needs to be adding some things to their faith, putting it in there, growing and getting closer, growing and getting closer, being a witness and being a friend to the lost and dying world, that they may see Jesus in you, that they might want to come and get saved.